Good morning. Welcome back to Rosie on the House, where we're talking water, specifically Arizona water, where we have enough to use, but not enough to waste. We're here with two special guests this morning from the Watershed Management Group, Lindsay Ignatowski. Thank you for joining us, Lindsay. And Ryan Wood. And, of course, my sweet wife, Miss Jennifer, who has jumped on this topic tremendously. Carried away, babe.
Well, I think it's exciting, and I want to inspire. So our little journey this morning is designed for the little light bulb to go on. Oh, these are things I can do, and they're simple. So as we work our way through these next couple segments, we'll be talking about how can I apply this at my home.
Did you confess to Ryan and Lindsay what your water consumption is at your house?
No.
Okay. All
but
right.
We're going to work on it. We're going to make a commitment.
We were blown away. I hadn't looked at our water bill in 20 years.
He's been like ultra focused on our energy bill, and he asked me to pull that water bill. I just look at the price. You know, I had to pay attention to the gas.
I thought,
that's embarrassing.
No.
So we're going to be getting some rebates.
We're getting serious about water conservation at our address. That's right. I know we can cut 10% for sure.
Well, I want to talk through the different public things that you can go see so you can kind of get a feel for what's being talked about. And then we'll talk through the classes you can take. But so when we left off, we were talking about this little church, the Methodist Church. And there's a little three-step thing you do starting with slow.
Spread and sink. So that's our motto in rainwater harvesting is slow, spread, and sink. It's what we want it. We want to capture that water and use it on our property before it sheds off and goes into the stormwater system.
So tell me how that works specifically at the church.
Well, at the church, it's really exciting that we had the opportunity to work in the right-of-way. So think of the space between the curb and the sidewalk, that landscape strip. And when we arrived at the church in 2010, there was no vegetation at all. But there was on the north side of on Grant Street, there's about a 10-foot landscape strip that we could work in. And that's really exciting because that's where we can go in and we excavate the soil down below the curb, the gutter level of the curb. So that way we can cut the curb or drill a hole through the curb to allow stormwater into that basin. And so we're creating a rain garden from be able to capture that stormwater, coming back in and planting native and adapted plants. And that's the key behind it, where we mentioned that this site is solely supported on rainwater and stormwater alone. It's picking the right type of plants to do that. And so it also gave us a good opportunity to try a few plants and see what, you know, how they could survive. And now we know what our really good champions are with our Palo Verdes and our ironwoods and desert lavenders and so plants that we know that work really well. There was a few plants that didn't work well. For example, a Tacoma. The Tacomas didn't survive just on that rainwater and stormwater. So it gives us a good opportunity to see what can work in a landscape just off of stormwater.
So you've done a lot to help the homeowner. There's a lot of things we don't have to reinvent the wheel. You've got a lot of things figured out, types of plants. And I'm sensing, too, that what's important is if homeowners are interested, to start watching their own properties. Where does the water go? What passes me by? And kind of start getting just a picture of where am I at?
Well, you hit it right on the head. That's the first thing we want to do is start with observation. We really need to see where that water is running and flowing to. And then we can start implementing these different techniques of to be able to create features to hold that water onto our property and use it as a beneficial resource.
And, you know, what I love when we're talking about the curb cuts and the curb cores that you talk about, Ryan, you know, we get our monsoon rains and we love them, but sometimes they come all at once and they may flood our streets and we don't love that so much. So what we're doing is we're actually taking this water that keeping it from flooding the streets, you know, preventing a problem and bringing it, like you said, to beneficial use on the landscape.
You got to love that. I mean, in the Building and Zoning Commission, we're constantly trying to get people to whatever falls from the sky stays on your property. If we could just get to that point, think of what it would help us accomplish in stormwater management.
That is true. It's thinking of what it was like before all the development. So pre-development, there wasn't all the hardscape. And so if we can mimic that and think of our yards as a big sponge, so when that rainwater comes and hard and fast, that we can soak it up and utilize that water. And then it will help our stormwater systems as well. So that way it's not inundated with all this extra water that's being have to handle with gray infrastructure.
It's a win-win, isn't it?
It is.
Well, I'd like to talk through the one at the Phoenix Zoo because I think it's a really special one because it's one you're likely to take your children to. And if our children learn about how precious water is, then, you know, they'll carry that forward. So tell us about the project you have at the zoo.
The zoo project, it's really exciting when we can use water harvest, rainwater harvesting, to also solve problems. And there was the Harmony Farm has a barn. And
this is the children's section of the zoo.
The children's section, mm-hmm. Correct. And part of that section of the barn would just, the water would shed off and go into the goat area. And the water would just go down through the sewer. So we wanted to capture that water and be able to utilize it in the landscape. So with the help of gutters to direct that water into a couple big rain tanks so they can store the water between storms, to use the water on the vegetation in between those storms. When the rain tanks overflow, we set up a series of what we call berms and basins, and it just slowly meanders and spreads through the section of landscape to hold that water in to be able to provide nourishment for the plants.
Is any of the water used for the animals themselves?
No, for the animals.
It's all
for the plants.
Oh. So and you can see that just by going to see the zoo one day, taking the kids and going through. Is it
Absolutely.
Obvious? Would you have to know what you're looking for? Is there any kind of signage or anything?
It is fairly obvious, and yes, they did create a sign. The Phoenix Zoo did create a sign, and the rain tanks, when you see them, it's underneath the area where typically you park your strollers and get out of the sun. You can be in the shade, and you'll see the tanks right there, and then the landscape is just right off of that for where the rain tanks
How
are.
How long has that one been there?
That one has been there since September of 2014.
Oh, I haven't been. I'll have to go check it out. Take my little grandbabies down there.
Rainwater harvesting. We're talking that and other things with guests that have joined us from the Watershed Management Group. We've got Ryan Wood, the program manager, and we have Lindsay Ignatowski, program coordinator and development associate. We're talking teaching you sustainable methods that you can use. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about how many educational opportunities the Watershed Management Group makes available to you. There are classes. We've been talking about particular facilities that you can actually go look and see for yourself. Throw your own two eyes on the project and see what you think and how you like it. But we're going to be talking classes, and we've still got to talk about gray water. That's another significant battle that we have in between cities as well.
Pick up this Saturday edition of the Arizona Republic for Rosie's Home Improvement Column, where we cover the most important topics that every homeowner needs to know.